some other dates.
You were involved in the Jewish Federation.
I was one of the originators.
Would you like to tell us about your role was in the Jewish Federation?
Recognize him.
Kirk Douglas?
Yeah.
Where'd you meet him?
Out in California, 1950. We were out there, and just to go on the set, he was in the picture.
And you got to go on the set?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who got you on the set?
A friend of ours who we were Charlton Heston's opening picture. We got in with the crowd out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were at Beverly Hills Hotel for 3 weeks.
Right. That must have been a wonderful vacation.
And we were away for 11 weeks.
Well, you had good people taking care of your store.
That's a furniture company. Another picture in here I want to show you. Oh. This is the 10th anniversary of the club.
Of the country club. And these were really the founders of the country club, right?
Yeah.
And,
none of them still around.
Yeah.
Outside of me.
Yeah. Well, this is Hi Young.
John Kane.
And Saul Killen. So you were the founders of the Brandywine Country Club. Well, I had no idea. And these are grandchildren, I can tell that. Then there's grandchildren.
This is one of the pictures. Sorry. Where is it?
Is it a picture of you? How about this? Who is this?
That's Howard.
Oh, that's Howard.
He was in Korea.
Oh, I see.
He was at a MASH hospital over there.
Oh, okay. When he watches that MASH, he really can appreciate it.
He used an old picture. There's one other picture I want to show you.
This is a picture of
Ed Sullivan.
Oh, that was again in California?
No, here.
Oh, really?
I had him here, yeah, for 2 days.
Why?
We did some houses along with the Drexel Furniture Company and the Ford Motor Company. And he was here for three days.
And he was part of the promotion.
Yeah, he was the promotion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And are you one of the first ones who started using decorators and promoting here?
Yeah.
Where did you get the idea? Because that was a wonderful idea.
Well, because that seemed to be the trend on a better furniture, and people buying it wanted help.
Uh-huh. And it really did help.
Yeah.
It did help business.
This is the this is that original store.
Oh, news in the news journal, and that was that was the store where
305 West Second Street.
305 West Second. So this is the Second Street store that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that the Ben Sklut in that picture?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that Ben Sklut?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize the relationship.
Yeah, we moved out there in 1913.
Wow. So you became...
You know who lived next door to us?
Who?
Finger.
Aaron Finger's father. Right.
He lived next door to us on Second Street.
Was he the postman?
He was the mailman.
He was the first Jewish mailman.
Yeah.
In Wilmington.
Yeah.
In Delaware, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So you were in good company.
Well, they were all around there. All the Jews were around there.
Uh-huh. When did the Jews start moving out of Second Street?
Mm-hmm.
Was it before World War II?
Oh, yeah. Well, we moved in 1913.
But Second Street, the businesses stayed there. Because for many years, it didn't matter where you lived, but Jews went back to Second Street to shop. It was the shopping area.
That's where all the Jewish stood.
And so even when I was young, my parents went there to shop.
And then Wallman had the Abattoir. Remember Wallman? Rabbi Wallman?
Rabbi Wallman, right.
Yeah, he bought that, there was an Abattoir there. He used to kill cattle between 2nd and 3rd on Patton Street.
And so he was a part of that.
Yeah, but that was later.
Mm-hmm.
The Toppises moved up. Willie Toppis and Charlie built homes on the boulevard.
Willie was the one who was the Zionist, active in Zionist Party?
Well, Louie was too.
Yeah, but Willie, wasn't Willie the secretary of the Zionist Party of America?
I think he was.
Yeah, he was.
But Louie was there's a picture of Louis someplace over in with Herzl and them in Jerusalem.
They both went to Palestine early.
Yeah.
How about getting back to the Toppis family? Was the mother Rosa Toppis? Did you know? You don't remember her, Rose? The Toppis, Louis' mother.
No, I don't remember her.
She must have been a very unusual woman.
She apparently was. They were an unusual family.
Yes.
Very successful.
And Jewish oriented.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Louis wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie was.
Charlie wasn't, no.
Yeah.
What about the Jewish Federation of Delaware?
We started it, I can't think of the year. I was secretary for a number of years.
Well, in the very beginning, before there was a Jewish organization, I know the top people, I read a lot of minutes where people met in the Toppis home often.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the Jewish Community Center was started. I mean, they would sit around and say, we ought to have a synagogue or we ought to have...
Yeah.
Do you know anything about the formation of a Jewish community in Delaware? In Wilmington.
Well, yes, because at the time there were about 15 different drives.
Before World War One and during World War One. Kishinev, do you remember that? You must have been too young, but the Kishinev pogrom, the Jews of Wilmington collected money for that. So
no.
I think those are some of the things that probably united the Jews in Delaware.
Well, what happened was that we had about 15 different organizations raising money, each one for their own.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of the leaders got together and decided that we should have a federation. So I don't know who brought Ben Coder in, but it was the best thing ever happened to the community. Then we opened an office on 7th Street, and Ben Coder
was... What was your role at that time?
At that time, I was just another...
another Jewish contributor.
Contributor.
Yeah.
And we are very friendly, and we were trying to decide how we could bring all the Jewish organizations together. And I made a suggestion to Ben one day that we invite all of them to a lunch. At that time, it was Izzy Rubin and had a delicatessen.
On 7th Street.
7th Street,
right.
Yeah.
Rubin's delicatessen.
Yeah. They were cousins of mine.
Oh, really? You were related to everybody.
Yeah, they were cousins, my father and my uncle. And and Harry Feinberg put up the money and put him in business.
So he did very well for
us. Yeah, we put him in business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we called all the organizations together and asked them to come over. And we laid out the proposal that they give up their drives and we get the Federation to raise this money and make allocations for them. Everybody went in but the Deborah Society. I've never forgiven them.
Why wouldn't they go in?
Because the people working for the board got commissioned.
Uh-huh.
And they felt they could raise more money themselves than the wind of the Federation. But all the other organizations went in with it. And that's how we got all of them in.
Do you remember some of the organizations that were there here at the time?
Well,
there was no Hadassah. It hadn't been formed. I mean, it wasn't the...
Well, there were all the synagogues. There were the... I can't think.
Chava Kadesha, there was the old age home. What was that called? The,
oh, yeah.
Bicker Column.
But they all agreed to come in and go together, and that's how we formed the Federation.
And so everybody, each person had a member on the board? Is that what they
that's
did?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Each one had a member on the board.
And so... who was the, Ben, tell us something about Ben Coder and his role.
Ben Coder was the most dynamic secretary that we ever had.
Executive?
Yeah.
Of the Jewish Federation.
Jewish Federation. He's the one that really formed it. He's the one that brought Milton Kutz into it. Milton always said he was a Hitler Jew.
Really?
Yeah. Milton knew nothing about Jewishness.
And when he called himself a Hitler Jew, he meant he didn't care about being Jewish until Hitler...
Until that happened, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you friends of the Milton Kutz?
Kutz, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you were friendly with many of the people who were the creators of the Jewish Federation?
Yeah, the old hall, you name them, they were all...
Tell us about some of these people as you remember them. Tell us Phil Cohen, what kind of person
he was. Phil Cohen was very devoted and very honorable gentleman. I mean, he was a credit to Wilmington.
And he was born in Wilmington, wasn't
he? Oh, yeah.
So you knew him all his life also?
Oh, yeah. His grandfather, bar mitzvahed me.
His grandfather was the rabbi who was...
Yeah, he bar mitzvahed me.
At Ares Kodesh?
No, at home.
Oh.
At Ares Kodesh, but he's the one that taught me. I used to go out to...
You had a rebbe at home?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You didn't go to the synagogue?
Except to
be bar mitzvahed?
Yeah.
But you had... At that time, it was common for people to stay at home and get their...
Yeah.
Their Hebrew training.
Yeah.
Right.
Not that I remember any of it, I don't.
But you've been a lifelong member of Beth Shalom. Were you a member from the very beginning?
From the beginning, yeah.
Can you tell us something about that?
Not too much, because I was away in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And,
well, why did
religion wasn't one of my...
Wasn't your high point.
No.
Why did you go with Beth Shalom when your family was at Ares Kodesh? Why did you stay at Ares Kodesh?
Well, in 1940, my mother and father passed away, and they were living in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And Beth Shalom was across the street from where we lived.
I see. At 18th and Washington.
18th and Washington. Uh-huh. We lived right across the street from
there. Remember Dr. Holtzman?
Yeah, sure, right. He was on the corner.
He was the doctor who was my doctor at birth, and my mother used him all the time.
Well, we lived in the first house and back at Dr.
Uh-huh, I know.
We sold that house to Tucker.
I remember when the Tuckers lived there.
Yeah, they moved in there.
And then you moved further over on the boulevard. Where did you move?
No. That's when I went to the Navy, and then when I went to Chester.
Oh, you mean when you left the... after you were married and you came back.
We were in Chester.
Oh, you were in Chester. And then after Arden, where did you live?
2211 Baynard Boulevard.
I knew you lived on the boulevard at some time. The boulevard was a very prestigious place to live. So Bill was always in that company. So you lived on the boulevard until you went to Florida?
No, we moved to the Devon when the Devon was built.
Uh-huh. And then you decided that you wanted a warmer climate?
We used to go down there for the winter.
And then you
like... Mom, can you add anything here?
Yeah. Why?
I'm very proud of you, Bill.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you for being proud of. Rhoda, do you have something you'd like to...
Now, Wilmington's always been a very wonderful city. And the people in Wilmington.
There's a feeling of family closeness you have?
Yes. It's been a very warm... They were the days of Harry Rubinstein and...
What was your relationship to Harry Rubinstein?
Well, he was my lawyer for a while.
Was he?
Yeah.
Harry Rubinstein certainly made a big contribution to the city of Wilmington,
yes.
Didn't he?
Very capable.
Yes.
Yeah.
He bought a lot of real estate before, ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And he built the mall, Concord Mall, and...
Harry was a very bright and very solid citizen.
So you lost a good friend when
Well, Sam Eisenstadt, remember him?
Of course, I remember him very well.
Sam was really something.
Sam was also an early member of the Brandywine Country Club and the Jewish Federation.
Oh, sure.
So all your friends were the same...
It was the same group that
the same group of friends that did the country club, that did the Jewish Federation.
Where the Coots home is, the Sellers Estate.
Yes.
A group of us got together and bought that and gave it to the Federation.
Uh-huh. So you were involved in the beginning of what became the Coots home today.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that. How did that come about?
Well, it came to pass because we felt we needed it.
At that time, the Bishop Colon was 217 Washington Street. And you had out, and then had, wasn't big enough?
It wasn't big enough, and it wasn't...
Nice enough.
I remember I furnished it, and the way
you
I...
You furnished it?
Yeah. The way I furnished it was that I sold them on the idea that we would sell rooms and put their name on it. So we priced the rooms, I think, around $400 or $500. And we sold the individual rooms, and that's how we furnished it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then you decided it wasn't enough, and so you bought the land that became the cellar, the...
Well, we bought it for the community, where
for the Federation.
For the day care.
For the day camp.
Yeah.
And that was the first day camp.
Yeah, and then when we won the Coots home, we had room enough out there. And we started to raise money for that, and we couldn't raise enough, so we went to Milton and Hattie. Went to Hattie Coots and sold her on the idea of giving us $500,000. We'd name it for them.
Uh-huh. Well, Milton died by that time?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So did Hattie.
Uh-huh. And so what we need in Wilmington now is some more Milton and Hattie Coots, because we could use them.
Well, the foundations in this community have been wonderful, though. I mean, I don't mean a Jewish foundation. I mean, when we built the community center, we wouldn't have been able to do it without the help of the foundations here.
Yes, they
and just a new part of it, they made a big contribution.
This new family campus, right. Yes, it's a wonderful addition, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, you certainly, I will tell you, I had no idea that you had made such a contribution to the city of Wilmington and the Jewish community.
I was on the first admission committee at the community center. Paul Cohen and five of us were on the foot. We set the rules up for how people should come in and all.
And are you talking about the new community center on Garden of Eden Road?
The Coots home.
Oh, the Coots home.
Yeah.
Oh, you set up
the mission
policy for
and
residents.
And how it should run and the kosher end of it and the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And we also, in the Brandywine Country Club, when it first formed, we set a rule up that Friday it would be closed out of respect to the rabbis.
And this was Brandywine Country Club. That didn't last very long.
Yeah. And we set up the rule that Friday it had to be closed
uh-huh.
because it was a Jewish country club.
Uh-huh.
And then the community center, Dan Herman is the one responsible for the location.
Of the Jewish community center?
Yeah, where it is now.
Well, they did a demographic study, I remember, before they bought it, to find out where the Jews were moving.
They did that, but it was only, hadn't been for Dan, we'd never been able to buy that.
They bought it from Woodlawn.
Trustee.
Woodlawn trustee.
Yeah, yeah, Dan was very responsible, did a lot of work on it. And this new addition is wonderful.
Yes, I think we're very fortunate.
Have you been out there?
I went swimming at the new fountain campus, yes, I loved it.
It's really wonderful. I think the Jewish community in this town is really done a remarkable job.
Well, you lived in Florida for many years, and you've come back, and what kind of comparison can you make between the lifestyle in Florida and lifestyle here in Wilmington?
Florida, to older people, will add 10 years of life to anybody that goes there. I know it's added to my life.
Really?
And unfortunately, look, I'm no youngster, I took sick, and Judy came down and brought me home, I couldn't walk. I lost about 40 pounds, and we made an awful lot of friends, and we still have them. But I wanted to be home for the family.
Well,
and when this place opened up, this place is remarkable.
Yes, this Laurelton is a lovely retirement home.
It really is.
Well, I'm really pleased that you're here, and I thank you very much for talking to us.
Well,
and
what else I can
add? And if you have anything that you'd like to get from the Historical Society.
Yeah, well, I'll get some pictures.
Okay.
And
is there anything else, Lenny?
No.
Can I invite you girls?